echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations innovate and grow value in a digital world. Episode 48, Innovation with API-First Integration. In this episode, we'll discuss how to empower business innovation by taking an API-first approach to integration, starting with the consumer's point of view. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in and listening to the show. If you know someone who would like to learn more about APIs, Google Cloud, digital transformation, innovation, then please share the podcast with your network so they can subscribe and get incredible thought leadership and insight on a weekly basis. Today, we are joined by two of our leading experts in the world of API management, Scott and Andrew. Welcome to the show. Would you mind introducing yourselves? Scott?
Hey, Chris. Scott Holland here, and I'm leading product for our Apigee integration solution. And I've been doing integration most of my career, starting with some B2B and EDI development, EAI and application-to-application architecture work, and then product work, working on some ESB-type solutions, as well as one of the first integration clouds out there. Now been with Apigee for about 2 years, and really excited about some of the solutions that we're coming up with here in the API management space to help with integration.
Thanks for having me, Chris. My name is Andrew Picklesheimer, and I'm a customer engineer for the Apigee team at Google Cloud. I've been with the team now, gosh, probably going on 6 years, and probably spent the better part of the last decade in API management and integration. I, along with Scott, also have a background in this in my previous life, and happy to talk about our new product set today. Thanks for having us.
Great to have both of you. If we look at a super high level, when we talk about API integration, Scott, what is that?
Yeah, and that's the fundamental question. What is it about integration that mixes well with APIs? Well, APIs, in a sense, are a way to do some integration. But APIs are more like the front door to your enterprise. And then behind that front door, there needs to be a bunch of hallways and passageways that go to the various rooms in your house. And if we think about integration, it's really implementing those hallways that give you connectivity to the different data that's available in each room of your building or your house, so to speak. So APIs provide that security layer, the access layer that you need to make sure that the right person is able to access the right API and data. And then integration is really about being able to implement that service that the API is going to call to go retrieve the data to fulfill that API request. API first integration is really about providing not only the API management layer that we've got a great API management solution with Apigee, but also then providing access to that data through, low code tooling to give you data to fulfill the API requests that are coming in.
Now you said something else in there. So I want to just set the foundation for those of you who are listening with our terminologies here. API first, do we have a specific definition for what API first really means?
Yeah, and this is really key in the whole API management space. We want all of our customers to start thinking about APIs as a product. So you're designing an API product so that your use case that you're implementing, whether it be a mobile app or a new website, can actually look at the user journey that your customer is going to be going through as they use that new mobile app or website, and then mapping that to the experience that you want them to have with the data that you're trying to provide. So starting with the API first means that you start with that user perspective, the user journey, the use cases. You design the API to meet those use cases. And you may not even be sure where that data is going to come from for that API at that point, but you have to get the API right. Then once you've got the API right for the user experience, now you can take a tool like an integration tool and actually figure out how to map that data that you have in your backend systems so that you can fulfill that API. So it's really all about starting with the user when we say API first, so that the app that's being developed has a higher chance of getting that user adoption that's so important. Because if people can't really you know, use the app to do what they want. And we call it the job to be done in design thinking. If you make it too hard for them to do the job, they've got to click like 15 times to do something simple, they're not going to end up using that app for very long. So it's really important to nail that user journey, look at the job to be done, use design thinking, start with the API, and then figure out how to implement it and pull the data out of the systems of record.
Yeah, I love this concept of get the job done, or any job, or any experience, or any journey. Customers have a very specific need when they're logging into an app or something that they've downloaded, and they want to be able to execute that. And when you start talking about the data, it makes me think, you know, we really are living in this age of connectivity. These connected experiences are all around us. And I think you touched on a really interesting point in here, the data. So Andrew, I'm curious, when we think about our customers and the data that they have and how they need to expose that, how does this all fit into this concept of API first and integration?
Well, what we've done here is we've extended, you know, what people typically think about API management being. We've built this larger ecosystem and expanded our fabric. So you have these, as Scott mentioned, these low code or no code tools that's built into our platform, so they can take those different types of data sets, whether it's in a database or living on some other cloud or in GCP, and make that readily available to an API. And ultimately, what you're doing is that time to market is what you want to consolidate and make that deliverable as quick as possible. And the whole point behind delivering this via APIs is that you want developers who are building those experiences, they're building those apps, to have that data at will, very, very easy to consume, very, very easy to discover. So they actually spend the majority of their time really curating that experience within the application itself. And all the things that happen under the covers will be handled by some tools like ours or other types of no-code platforms to make that much easier for them to do so.
I tend to see big challenges within organizations around exposing data. We talk about API first, and that you should start to think about what the data is and begin to expose it as an API before you start building the application. I get all of that. But clearly, there are still problems within a lot of organizations just around how do they go about exposing this data. Andrew, have you seen this as a common theme when you're talking with some of our customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it falls into two distinct realms. So if you think about the folks that need to indeed expose that data, how they do that in a fashion that is secured, is scalable. How do they make sure they're not having any types of data leakage that would expose things they were never intended to be exposed? I think that's one problem that every one of our customers has to deal with day in, day out, is making sure they have the right measures of security in place across the board. But if you flip the coin here and look at the folks that want to access this data, how can they do that in a very straightforward, easy process? How can they discover what data is available to them? How do they get access and harness that data and leverage that in their applications and their platform? And the way we think about this is, let's go solve both of those in a single place, in a single pane of glass that makes these problems solvable in a very short order.
And you're touched on things like the siloed nature of data, where you might have different business units who don't even want to collaborate between each other with that data. And then when you start thinking about these experiences that we want to create, it's challenging, especially when I need certain types of data and that data is being siloed on another organization and I can't access that data and it's not being shared across some centralized framework or centralized management system, library of APIs, you're not able to create the experiences that people are looking for. And Scott, one of the things I know you're familiar with is this concept we call the digital value chain, which has a very specific message that starts from the outside in. Could you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, and this is really, really similar to the discussion that we had earlier where we talked about user journeys and the job to be done. It's really all about starting with that user perspective first. That's the first step in the value chain. And then thinking about like, what kind of app does this user need in order to do that? And then engaging with your developer community to provide the APIs that would enable that kind of experience. So again, it's all about that outside in approach means that you start with that user experience, not necessarily with your data. Because the temptation that we see from like an IT developer, for example, is to just expose the database as it is, as a big API. Let's say you have a database with a schema that has 200 columns in it, everything from customer number and order number, things that might make sense to attribute 16 and attribute 17, right? And you just expose that as an API, and now you've put the burden of understanding your internal system implementation on this mobile app developer out there in the community that might not even work for your company. And how in the world are they ever going to figure out what that API is supposed to do, right? So if you start with what the user wants, then you can put that job of mapping the data to the specific fields that are just needed out of that database, the columns that are important. That's where you get the value, because now you've accelerated the hardest part, which is the mobile app development, right? You've accelerated that person's job, and times 100 or times 1,000, you might have a huge developer community using these APIs. You've now enabled that person to be more efficient. And the IT person can spend the time to do that data mapping step using our low code tool to pull out just the columns that are needed for that job to be done. And one other thing I wanted to mention, because you brought up this really important part about the data being siloed between business units. And if you're really focused on the customer experience and what the customer is expecting, let's say that you're running a bank and your bank also, you know, has, you have checking and savings accounts, of course, but you also sell insurance maybe, and you have a division that, you know, does some other financial services, maybe some stock brokerage services. Your customer doesn't really care that those are different business units. They want to have like one mobile app where they can access any of those services and get the same user experience, the same look and feel, the same interaction points, the same kind of button presses, swipes mean the same thing, right? That's very hard to do if you're just exposing each one of these data systems as an API, rather than looking at the experience and then fulfilling that those APIs so that you get that consistent user experience. And you know, these terms have been around for a while now, customer 360, employee 360, this concept that you want the customer to have access to your whole company in a consistent manner. And these systems are not typically integrated that tightly so that you can do that easily. But APIs give you the ability to do that for the customer by doing a little extra work in the middle layer.
I completely agree. And one of the words that you mentioned in there was value. There is extreme value when you take this API first approach from an outside in perspective, and you focus on what consumers want and you build that accordingly. Andrew, from the API first integration point of view, if we bring it all together, what are some of the benefits that we see in this approach?
One common problem I see with a lot of customers is reusability and discoverability. A lot of times, you know, as you mentioned, these teams may work in silos. And unfortunately, that means the left hand may not always be aware of what the right hand's doing. And it leads to a lot of redundancy and a lot of duplication of the same effort for the same data set, but with slightly different APIs that each team may not be aware of that the other already has. So by introducing this abstraction that we've been talking about today, building these facades, manipulating the data in a way that it curates an experience that app developers want, but taking that a step further and making that discoverable, so anyone within an organization or even outside the organization for that matter can find that and start using it in minutes, that's what's unlocking the value. That's what drives that time to market much lower. So the time spent is on experiences, and that is what every organization should strive for.
So then let's start breaking this down a little bit more. Now, when I think about integration and going all the way back to how we opened the show, we're talking about a house and the hallways and doors in the house. I tend to look at integration as the electrical or the plumbing, or, you know, I have these different types of technologies within my house. I've got a smart home and I want to be able to turn on my lights and open my garage door, and I have different technologies that are helping me to do that. They're all integrated together. Am I on the right track when I'm thinking about API integration in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to your analogy about the plumbing or the electrical, our integration tool set is exactly that. It creates that end-to-end plumbing for you. So developers don't have to spend needless amounts of time writing code or anything like that to get to that data. They can, in a matter of minutes, use some of our native tool sets to grab those data sets and make those readily available as an API. So it really makes their life that much easier. And then you couple that with all the other features of API management around rate shaping and security and inspection and things like that. They can make these data sets live and ready to be consumed very, very quickly.
Scott, could you give us an example of an integration?
I have a couple of good examples. One is like, let's say that you're a telecom company and you sell things like cable TV, cell phone service, cable internet, and even maybe like an internet phone service. Each one of these divisions actually was built independently. Maybe you even kind of grew this company through acquisitions. So each one of these order fulfillment processes in this telecom company is operated through completely different IT systems, different ERP systems, different provisioning systems. But from a user perspective, you want to be able to give a mobile app to your customer and a website where they can sign up for these services and they just check the boxes. I want cable internet, I want the mobile phone service, and I want cable TV. And boy, if you buy all three, you get a 3-for-1 deal type of thing, right? And the customer really doesn't need to know that you have different IT systems for each one of those business divisions. So using an integration, an API first integration approach, you develop one API for that order. You have the API order then routed to an integration. And in Apigee integration, you can now route each of those line items and do whatever data mapping is needed for each one of those separate provisioning systems on the back end, which, you know, maybe one of them is running on a mainframe and one of them is running on SAP and another one is running on some Oracle system, for example. Now you can do the data mapping to each one of those three different data formats, call the appropriate API or whatever that interface looks like for those systems, and respond back to the customer with a consistent response so that all of that nitty-gritty detail about how your backend systems are implemented is completely transparent to the customer. They don't want to know and they shouldn't know. All they know is they get an order number, and then when all three services are ready to go, they get confirmation saying, hey, your services are now provisioned for you. That's the job to be done. That's the user journey that we're talking about.
So I have a story in here because I have an internet provider who is also my mobile phone carrier, who is also my television provider, who is also, you know, some of the specialty services out there, content providers. I have them in all of these different facets, all the same company, but multiple different logins, multiple different processes, multiple different connectivities. And when you call one, they can't communicate with the other, even though it's the exact same company. And to make matters even more interesting, I just got off the phone call with somebody an hour ago who said, hey, I'm with fill in the blank. We would like to sell you some really great new packages we have. I said, I already have that package. I mean, you don't even know your own customers. This just shows you how, whether it's through acquisition or different types of integrations, how all of this could have been solved and eliminated and improved for me as the consumer. And it's just amazing still that these types of challenges are out there.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you intentionally try to solve this problem, the natural organic thing that will happen is each business unit will do their own thing. That's the easiest thing for them to do. So it takes some intentionality, it takes some design thinking, and it requires some good leadership in the IT space to look at these problems from that customer perspective and bring that into the IT landscape and say, we have to do this better. Because for your experience, that's just, in my book, that's just completely unacceptable. It shouldn't be that way. But oftentimes as customers ourselves, we do experience this and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it's unacceptable as well, but hey, I still pay them for it. So there's something to be said there too. Andrew, when we start to break down Apigee integration, there's a couple of components that make that up. Could you walk us through them?
Yes. If we break down the components of Apigee integration, by and large, there's kind of four top level categories. The first being the integration itself. And I think a lot of folks would refer to this as the connectors. So this is those little bits and bytes that allow our platforms to talk to other platforms. So it could be some type of database, or it could be something like a BigQuery, or maybe your CRM system like Salesforce. And this is essentially the wiring in our platform that allows us to exchange data with those platforms. The second big bucket of the platform is the design tooling. So think about this as more or less a visual workflow with various shape scenarios that allow you to orchestrate the different steps you want to take with that specific integration. So there may be some type of a trigger that kicks off this type of workflow, and then it goes off and does some data mapping, and then it goes off and delivers that data to some other external database or data sets, and then gets back a response, and so on and so forth. There's also different ways to do decision making and conditional things and scatter gather and approvals and such. But it's all kind of orchestrated there in that design tool that is very much visual. And then from there, once you've kind of taken that integration, that workflow, and built it out to your liking, then you must go deploy that and make that readily available so you can invoke such integration. And obviously, running on Google Cloud, this is available in all the various regions and globally that our cloud is made available to. And then once this thing is in action, it's in use, it's live, you want to have some insight into the monitoring, the operations of such. So we have some built-in tooling that allows you to look at various dashboards and look at logs and see what data is being transacted, when it's being transacted. Is it successful? Is it fail? What's your throughput? That type of thing. So it's really about the day-to operations and monitoring scaling of the platform.
Andrew, what's the difference between Apigee's management platform and Apigee integration?
In my point of view, I guess you're comparing API management versus integration. And the way I think about API management is it's that facade that sits on top of existing layers of services. And that's where you apply policy. That's where you do inspection. That's where you do debugging and things like that. But once you get into the integration space, what makes it distinct and unique is this is the actual conduit that is connecting directly to a service that could then go perform additional work, right? For instance, traditionally speaking, APIs, REST APIs are synchronous, right? There's a request, there's a response. But once you get into the integration landscape, things may be much different, right? It may be a long-running process. You know, imagine in even Scott's example where you're doing some type of order fulfillment with some type of multi-product carrier. There may be some approvals that have to be enacted within that workflow. And that approval is very unlikely instantaneous. It's usually requires a human body. What this does, it creates this long-running process that will stop and pause and wait for a human response. And then once it gets that, whether it's a allow or deny, whatever it may be, continue on. So I think it's one example where you see that you're moving away from the traditional request response side into something that may be much different and require other elements of interaction. And this is where our product, it really helps facilitate that much easier.
One other thing that's kind of really important and native to an integration solution that you don't see as much in the API management space is the whole concept of eventing. So when a particular event happens in a particular system of record, we'd like to have this integration run that does, you know, certain actions. And this is typically facilitated asynchronously through message queuing technologies like Google PubSub. Google Cloud PubSub is a great messaging technology. Kafka is a technology that people use. So these applications can just kind of drop this event into one of those queues, and it's a fire and forget type of mentality. This thing happened in my system. I know people want to know about it. I'm going to drop this off, and then it's someone else's job to go ahead and process that. And so having the ability to trigger integrations, not only from API calls, but also from these other kind of event sources, gives our customers the ability to design these kind of more event-driven architectures, which are asynchronous in nature.
And bringing this back around into our product conversation, do we see API integrations becoming productized in some way? where they can be reused, or even these events, do we see them as somehow being packaged back in with other logic and other data to create new types of API products?
There's some other interesting work happening in Apigee as well, where we're looking to add some capabilities to allow you to manage events in the same way that you would manage APIs. And then the implementation of those events can certainly be done through Apigee integration or other tools, but there's this concept of being able to manage the events and then the implementation of those events and the implementation of the APIs. And thanks for bringing this up, because it brings us full circle to that whole conversation about the user journey and starting with the user first mentality. What that leads to is really a product viewpoint on APIs. If you want to do this right, what you're doing is you're becoming a product manager who develops APIs. APIs are the product, which then enable these user journeys. Because as a product manager, this is what I do day in and day out. I look for the user journeys that are out there for various products in Google, and I try to then come up with product implementations that implement those user journeys. It's no different for an API product manager. You're looking at the, you know, what is the customer trying to do? What does my user need to experience? What is that next connected experience that's going to take our company to the next level? Right. And then figuring out how to implement that API so that you can enable that user journey. And so you've really become now a product manager who's developing API products, and you just happen to be using Apigee as the framework and the platform to implement those API products.
You know, Scott, what's really excited me lately with some of these recent developments on the API product side is that we're really opening up how API products can be subscribed to. So we're actually extending out beyond just this mental model of REST APIs are the only way to deliver API products. What if you want to have consumers that want to subscribe to a product that delivers them a GraphQL endpoint or a gRPC endpoint or something like that, something of that nature? And that's what we're striving for within our product, is to deliver these different interfaces so the consumer decides how they want to consume that product, and they can decide how they want to implement that into their application. And with Apigee integration being behind all of this stuff, lower in that stack as part of our platform, they could connect to any type of database, any type of CRM system, any type of third-party SaaS solution, and then curate that API product into whatever type of interface or interaction that that consumer desires beyond just REST. And to me, that is... that's the next evolution of how this product is going to be enacted, and how I think it's being very much appreciated by our customers with that level of flexibility.
The API is the product. I love it. I say it a lot myself, so of course I love it. Well, thank you both. It's been really a privilege having you. Thank you for your insights and a great conversation on APIs.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Thank you again, both of you. And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening. If you have questions, comments, or ideas for the show, connect with us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another innovation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.